As I've already said, we're starting a new focus on prayer. Oh, am I taking over? There we go. I'm calling this series, Teach Us to Pray. Because when the disciples observed Jesus praying, that's what they said to him, teach us to pray. And the interesting thing is, the disciples were Jewish people who would have been taught to pray already. So there was a different kind of prayer that Jesus had. And we're going to look at that a little bit today. But to kind of set up this series overall, I had all these things that I could say. But instead, I'm just going to tell you a story. In June of 2023, a 16-year-old girl named Esther went missing in Golden Ears Park. She was on a hike with it. If you read the news article, she was with a youth group. And given the way this story is going to go, I want to make it clear it was not my youth group. She was with a youth group, and she got kind of separated from her group, and they couldn't find her. Well, Esther attended my previous church, Calvary, and so right when we found out that afternoon, the staff got together and prayed. Esther's parents were asking everybody they could to pray that Esther would come back safe and sound. And that evening went by, and nothing. Search and rescue was out that night, out all day the next day, and nothing. And here's me, a pastor, by the way, sitting there going, I don't think she's coming out of that forest. I've been to Golden Ears, I've hiked at Golden Ears, I know how easy it is to get turned around, and I know how big it is. And I was like, she's 16. I don't know how she's getting out of there. And Esther was on our list to get baptized. And I was supposed to be sending out emails that week, and I was so scared to push send on the email to Esther's parents saying, hey, here's the stuff Esther needs to do to get ready for baptism. And then I had to call them and ask them, and they said, you proceed like she's getting baptized. But still, my cynical self was like, I don't think Esther's coming out of that forest. The next day goes by. We're all praying every day. And you know what? We went home on Thursday night. It had been three nights now. It was the third night. Went home thinking, I don't know. I'm hoping, but I'm doubting. And Esther's parents were praying. And they were at the park every day, in the parking lot, helping in whatever way they could with the search and rescue team. And on Thursday night, the search and rescue team said, we're packing up, we're going home, we'll come back and regroup in the morning. Told Esther's parents, you can go home. So they got in the car, and if you've been to Golden Ears, you know it's a long drive from parking lot to the end of the park, to the entrance of the park. They started that drive, and Esther's mom said, we gotta go back. We gotta go back. They went back. They parked. About 9:30, Esther walked out of the trail on her own, right into her parents' arms. It makes me a little emotional. And I baptized her 2 weeks later. And I was so cynical, thinking she was not going to come out of that forest. What had happened to Esther was she was doing what a lot of us do when we're hiking. She was looking at her feet, and she was going slow down the mountain. And eventually she looked up, and her group was no longer in front of her. And she turned, realizing she had gone the wrong way, and she slipped, and she had slid down the mountain and landed on a ledge. And she tried to cry out for help, but she has a really tiny voice. And she heard people looking for her eventually, but they couldn't see her or hear her. She found her way down to the base of the mountain to the stream and started following the stream home. But she had to sleep in the forest, and she was there for a few days, rationing the little bit of food that she had, filling her water bottle in the stream. She came out largely unscathed, but still a little hurt. And you can read this whole thing. It's all news stories online. She posted her story online too, and it's been picked up by news stations. But there's something none of the news stations will say. And that's the amount of people that were praying, but also that Esther was praying. And in the news story, it says that she started hallucinating. But what she saw was someone leading her in the right direction. And you hear stories like this all the time with missionaries, and it hits a little closer to home when it's someone you know. And I say this to say that prayer works. And we live in an era where we don't need to depend on God in the same way. But Esther, when she was in that forest, all she did was depend on God. She was praying the whole time, truly praying without ceasing. And God saw her through. It's an amazing story of God's faithfulness. And there are lots of reasons why we may struggle to pray. There's so many books on prayer and how to pray that it's clear that people do struggle to pray. And maybe that's not you. Maybe prayer is just the language that you speak. But throughout this series, hopefully, we can all develop a heart to pray and maybe even some of the skills to help us pray better. Because it's not that, and as we talk today, it's not about getting everything right, but it's about praying. Doing it, spending time with God. And so that's why this series is called Teach Us to Pray. When we get a moment like that in our lives, a crisis moment like Esther's parents had, like our church had there, it shakes you up out of your regular routine and your prayers become different. And sometimes we get into this rhythm of just praying the same prayers all the time and we kind of disconnect from them a little bit. And other times we don't pray because we don't think it'll do any good. We don't think we need to depend on God in the same way that we maybe do in maybe people do in other parts of the world or back then. But that's the overarching heart of this series, is that we would deepen our dependence on God through prayer. So this week I'm calling it The Air We Breathe, because when I was a young adult, the young adult's pastor said very quickly and just kept going, prayer should be like breathing for Christians. And he kept going. And as I reflect on that statement, it makes a lot of sense. Prayer should be like breathing. We need it to survive. It's foundational for life. And we can hold it for a while, but eventually we pass out due to exhaustion. We need to pray. And that's the heart of where we're at in this passage that I'm going to read this morning. From 1 Thessalonians, a passage that many of you are probably familiar with. And as I read it today, I don't have the words on the screen. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes for a minute here while I read this to you, and just hear the words. As Paul writes at the end in 1 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 5, starting in verse 16, rejoice at all times, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us as well. This is the word of the Lord. If you haven't opened your eyes yet, you can. This passage is often cited and talked about. This idea of praying without ceasing sounds crazy to some people. Sometimes it's talked about as it just means to pray a lot or pray often. But I don't necessarily think that's true. I think it actually, Paul means what he means here. Paul means what he says. Pray without ceasing. I want to look at what that looks like. So there's that passage, and all of these go together. This is the first three verses. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Why? Because it's God's will. All three of those things are God's will. But it's not just rejoice, it's not just pray, it's not just give thanks. It's at all times, without ceasing, and in every circumstance. So let's just take a second to talk about those three commands. Rejoicing at all times. How can we do that? Obviously, there are times in life that are not times of rejoicing. Well, there is a level of joy that we can have when we know who we are in Christ, that no matter what we're going through today, no matter what pains or illnesses or stresses that are weighing on us, we know at the end of the day who we are in Christ, what He has done for us. And the second last verse that I read, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. We can rejoice because we know that God is faithful. The second reason why we're able to rejoice at all times is that joy is not a product of our own effort. We don't need to work to be joyful. It is the work of the Spirit within us. As the Spirit works on us and through us, our joy increases. It is a gift that the Spirit gives us, not something that we have to work at and try to be joyful. I was watching a show the other day where a person was told to relax, and she sat there going, relax, relax, come on, relax. Sometimes I think that's what we do with joy. We're like, just be joyful. We can't be joyful on our own effort. We can be happy, but joy comes from something deeper, and it comes from fellowship with God through the presence of the Spirit in our lives. So the first command is rejoice. And I think in prayer, we rejoice. And I think praying without ceasing, the second part of this command, part of praying without ceasing is going through life rejoicing at all times, knowing that even though today might not be the best day ever, even though I may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me. He is comforting me. His presence will go before me. So praying without ceasing, what does that even mean? Every time I've talked about this with kids, they always go, I don't understand what this is. So maybe that's you. Well, it really means being, as this is how one commentator put it, being elevated to the heart of God in all that we do. But here's the thing, just like rejoicing, it's not us trying to be elevated. I can get on my tippy toes to try and be as tall as my grandfather was if I can. And we think maybe it's by our effort, but it's a deposit that's been given to us by God again. And what does that lead to? It leads to us living with a dependence on God, consistently being aware of His presence wherever we go, and then seeking to do His will in all circumstances. So what does it look like to pray without ceasing? Well, it looks like always being in a state of prayer, always living life aware of God's presence. That's what I would classify a state of prayer, that He is with you, that He does care about you, that He cares about every detail. It's kind of like just having a conversation that doesn't stop. It may stop for a few minutes. My wife and I will have a conversation. It's usually interrupted by children, but the conversation will stop and then restart. And you may have that too, where it stops and restarts, and you pick up where you left off. And that's how we can have pray without ceasing. Is always, we don't need to say amen and leave it there. We go throughout our day, and the prayer might just be a simple, God, help me with whatever I'm doing right now. Or or give me wisdom for this. You might be driving somewhere and need to have a conversation with somebody, and you need wisdom. You might have a particularly difficult task in your day, and you just pray a quick prayer. But it's about recognizing that dependence that we have on God. And it might not always be speaking. It might not always even be articulating. It might be listening. It might just be sitting and listening to God, listening for Him. And it might mean that we slip into prayer often. If you read Paul's letters, he can be in the middle of instructing a group like, hey, you're doing all these, I was going to say stupid, now I did. You're doing all these things and you're being stupid. Stop it. But then he'll start praying in the middle of his letter. He always bursts into these prayers. And we know that Paul wrote through a scribe. So can you imagine being his scribe, trying to figure out what he was supposed to write down? Obviously, the Holy Spirit had him write down all of it. But if Paul's like, okay, tell the Corinthians that they need to stop doing this and start doing that, and then he just starts going, Lord Jesus, I am so grateful for your love and care and compassion. He goes through. It would be so hard. But that's what Paul does there is an example of praying without ceasing. The conversation is always open. So praying without ceasing is basically leaving that conversation open. You don't hang up the phone. You just leave it open. And then the next one is give thanks in every circumstance. And this is, one commentator mentioned, this is an interesting difference between joy at all times. It's not give thanks at all times, it's in every circumstance. So what does that mean? It means that we can pour our hearts out to God. We can be upset, we can be sad, we can be struggling. But in the end, we can, like many of the Psalms, end by saying, but I trust you and I thank you that you are with me. Or like Jesus in the garden before he was arrested. In the book of Luke, we're told that he was so stressed out, he was so overcome with anxiety and sorrow that his sweat became like blood. That's a real condition that can happen in moments of extreme stress, but it is incredibly rare. That's how stressed he was. And what does Jesus say? If it's possible to do this a different way, let's do that. It's Brad's translation, not an official translation. He poured his heart out to his Father in heaven. He said what he wanted. He didn't just say, okay, Father, if it's okay with you. No, he said, this is what I want, but not my will, but your will be done. And he was able to move forward, recognizing that. So giving thanks in every circumstance might not mean that we're happy about everything, but we are thankful that the God that we pray to hears us, cares for us, and is with us and will see us through. He has promised that he will be with us. And because we know from the book of Romans that God works all things for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes, we know that in every circumstance we can give thanks, even though if in a specific moment we're not very thankful. We can find the way to give thanks. There's been many moments in my life where I have prayed without ceasing. The most prominent one was when my son was sick, and I've talked about this here before. My prayer was simple. And it sounds kind of demanding. It didn't mean it to be, but it was, God, make him well. Make him better. Well, he still has type 1 diabetes. We still pray that he would be healed. We know that God can. We trust that he will. But yet, not my will, but his will be done. And I can be so thankful for the technology, just for the era that he was born in, that synthetic insulin exists. And it can be injected into him through whatever means, and be so grateful for all of that, that he can still thrive. He hasn't slowed down much. If this is him with an illness, I don't know. So that's how we can pray. These are the commands that were given. But the final part of this is, in all of these things, it is God's will. Not by our own effort. It is God's will, him at work in us, that helps us to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. And really, when I see all this and recognize that it ends with, this is his will in Christ Jesus, it reminds me that it is about our relationship with God. That being able to pray without ceasing is recognizing that we have a relationship with God. We can listen to him. We can sit and spend time with him in his word. We can pour out our hearts to him, and he will hear us, listen to us, and answer our prayers. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to briefly just This prayer here is called the Jesus Prayer. It's what the Eastern Church does is an internalized prayer. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's what they say over and over again to themselves. They're taught to do that in the Eastern Church. I don't think we need to do that, but you can. I was going to talk a little bit about internalized prayer, but we don't have time. So let's talk about why we can pray, why we can trust that we can pray real quick. In Ephesians chapter 1, we were told that when we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 6, we're told, pray in the Spirit at all times. With every kind of prayer and petition, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for everybody, for all the saints. Just doesn't mean, it means all the Christians, all believers. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means to pray God's prayers. It means to pray through the Spirit. The Spirit is how God communicates to us. God speaks to us through the Spirit's presence in our lives. We speak to God through the Spirit. And the Spirit understands our hearts, understands even the groaning of our souls. So when I pray a prayer that is not words, or if you pray a prayer that is not words and it's just a groan, God knows exactly what you're saying and what you're asking for and what you need. And finally, we're promised that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That he hears our prayers and he intercedes for us. He is speaking to the Father on our behalf. That is the promise of Scripture. That is how we know that we can pray. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, as I've already read, he is faithful and he will do it. He will hear our prayers. He will answer our prayers. So I'm gonna, in the interest of saving some time, skip ahead and just answer how we can pray. How can we develop this skill to pray at all times and to pray when it's hard to pray, when we maybe have become cynical, like I was, or maybe we don't know what to say? And the answer lies in what Jesus says to his disciples when they're arguing about who is greatest among them. And Jesus says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, who Jesus had put in their midst, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The idea of becoming like a little child and how that fits with prayer and how we pray is something that Paul Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, outlines quite a bit. First of all, I will acknowledge that children are dependent on their parents for absolutely everything. They're dependent on their parents for everything. And we all were once like that. But we all grow up and learn to be self-reliant and rely on ourselves and all that kind of stuff that the world tells us to do. And not that we don't want our kids to be self-reliant, by the way. I need my kids to be able to go to sleep on their own one day. It's that we forget that we're supposed to continue to depend on God, continue to trust him. And we need to recover that mindset. When I went to acting school, they told us, you need to become like a kid again. And what they meant was, grown-ups forget how to play, and kids know how to play without even thinking about it. And we need to, as actors, we were supposed to develop the ability to play again. I would say developing the ability to become like a child, let's look at what children do. When they need something, they do not hesitate. They come to you right away. They will say to you when you take them out of their crib in the morning, no, daddy, I want mommy, and you take them to mommy. They share exactly how they're feeling. They don't hold back. They don't have any questions about how they're feeling or reservations to let you know how they feel about a specific moment. They will tell you, "Dad, I'm bored," and just leave it at that. They will come and pour out their hearts to their parents. Yesterday, Ray told me, we went to go buy her a new booster seat, and she wanted a blue one. They didn't have any blue ones. We bought her a pink one, and she was so disappointed. And she told me, in no uncertain terms, how disappointed she was. Why? Well, we'll get to that in a second, in the second slide, but because she knows exactly what she wants, and she knows who to ask. And they keep asking. It's annoying. They keep asking. They don't always say it well. They don't always have it all formulated and articulated what they need, but they will ask. And it'll be raw and emotional and hard to understand sometimes, and sometimes it's really easy to understand, but they know exactly what it is, and they'll keep asking, "I want coco melon on TD," over and over again until you put coco melon on the TD. That's the attitude that little children have when they need something. But the thing is, they know who to go to. They know exactly who to go to. They know to go to dad for certain things and mom for certain things. They know who to go to. And they trust that you're going to answer them, even though sometimes the answer is no. They still come to you. They trust that you're going to give them an answer either way. And often, the only thing they really want is just to be with you. Kyson, there's two things that he will ask of me most often. "Daddy, can you play with me?" And if I go and play with him, it's usually I just sit there and I'm just with him. And he might give me a car and say, "You're this monster truck," and then I drive it around, but then he'll just be playing and doing his thing. He just wants to be with me. The other thing he asks for, "Daddy, will you snuggle me?" He just wants to be with me. In other words, knowing who to go to, trusting the person, and desiring to be with them, it's that little children have a deep desire for relationship, a deep desire to deepen their relationship with the person or people that they trust most in this world, their parents. Prayer is an expression of our relationship with God. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be eloquent. All God asks us to do is come to him because he wants us to be with him. And when we think about praying without ceasing, yes, it is bringing those needs that we have as they arise, but it's also just about spending time with him. It's just about deepening that relationship. It's about recognizing that he's always with us. Trusting that he will answer our prayers, that he will be with us even in the difficult times. So our problem is that we grew up. When my youngest will come to me and hit my leg and say, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, daddy," she wants me to pick her up. She just wants to be with me. The best way to recover and to learn how to become like a child is to look at God and say, "I just want to be with you." And find those moments. There might be specific moments where we pray long, eloquent prayers, but throughout our day, where we just recognize his presence. We recognize that he is with us. We recognize our dependence on him. And then I think praying without ceasing becomes our default as opposed to something that sounds so crazy that it must be Paul saying, just pray a lot. But it becomes our life. So So if I can encourage us to do anything today, it would be to relearn how to be like a child and depend on God for everything. Remember that we're not called to do it on our own, but rely on Him. And that the one who has called us is faithful, and He will do it. If you do struggle to pray, this is just a practical thing at the end. It's called the Daily Examine, and it's just a chance for you to go through some steps in your day. Ask God to help you see your day through His eyes. Thank God for the gift of today. Review your day. What was awesome? Where did you see God? What went well? What went bad? What challenges did you face? Where did you fall short? Ask for God's help. Ask for God's forgiveness. Face those difficulties head on. And look ahead and ask God to help you for what's coming up. This has been a model for prayer for several centuries now that people use. You don't have to use it, but it's just another way to help you as a practical way if you struggle to think about what to say. But what I want to do now, as we close out our time, and we will partake of communion, I'm going to warn you, because of circumstances, we're doing pods today. I tried them earlier this week. We'll be okay. We'll make it through. But I want to take time now to reflect and give you a few moments here to reflect on your prayer life. Maybe you are praying like you breathe. Maybe not. But take some time to honestly just think through how you are with your prayer life. Is it dry? Is it rich? Is it superficial and shallow? Do you just ask God for what you need? Is it just transactional? Or is it relational? And just take some time to reflect on that and then ask God to show you, to help you, to point out whatever ways you can deepen, amend, or change your prayer life that might help deepen your relationship with God. And that might look different for each one of us. But take some time now to reflect on that. And while you're doing that, you can also reflect on the amazing love that God has shown us through the cross of Christ. That because of His death and resurrection, we can actually boldly approach the throne of grace and ask Him for whatever it is and be in His presence each and every day. And then while you're reflecting, I will actually serve you communion. And then when we're done, we'll partake together. So let's take a moment now.